Welcome to Chai with Sam Dosa. On my podcast, I invite guests from diverse backgrounds. My guest will be sharing their personal and business journey. So stay tuned in.
Good.
Begin.
Okay.
The recording. Welcome to Chai with Sam Dosa. This is your host all the way from Birmingham, UK. And I bring in some amazing guests on my show around the globe. And today is also an exceptional speaker guest, I would say, on my show, Liz Lawless. She is two-time Amazon books book publisher, best-selling publisher, best-selling author, serial entrepreneur. We'll go into more detail. She's very creative. She's an author. She's a publisher. She's a podcaster. You name it, she has done so many things. And today we go further as how she has developed this 5 steps to quicker publishing success, which we will go more in detail. So before we do that, I would like to say welcome to my show, Liz.
Thanks, Sam. I appreciate it so much. The opportunity to be here and talk about publishing is always fun.
Fantastic. So before you go into your 5 dynamic steps, would you please tell my audience who is Liz and what's her purpose in this transient world?
Okay. Well, it's really interesting because even though I'm an author and a publisher, I don't get up every day and want to write, but I get up every day and want to create. So I really consider myself a creative. And then out of that creativity, publishing is one of those things, and writing myself is one of those things, helping other people publish. And I guess when I was my first business, it was a marketing creative services firm where I did newsletters and it was writing based or content based. But you know, it was 1988, so it was newsletters and annual reports and ads and, you know, things like that for businesses. Mm-hmm. But I always wanted to publish. My mother had a Christian bookstore, and I really kind of just figured out recently that I actually started when I was 10 or 11 in the book business because my mother opened a Christian bookstore in 1972 in Dallas, Texas, in the United States. And so I was always around books, and I guess in the back of my mind, I wanted to write books, mm-hmm. But, you know, it wasn't until I got out of college, I went to school, college, and I actually majored in journalism and speech, mm-hmm. But when I got out of school, I thought, could I write creatively? Because, you know, they taught me mm-hmm. who, what, where, when, why, and that's still the way that people write today, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, mm-hmm. But that's kind of how I got started, and so I took a creative writing course after college just for fun with my mother, and I wrote my first story there. Wow. And the instructor said, you should send this out. I think maybe somebody would publish this. And of course, that was, you know, that was before the internet. You had to go to the library, get out the big publishing book. There was like a directory that had 500 publishers, and you had to scroll through and find, you know, somebody that would publish a children's book. So I did that. I guess I probably sent out 50 letters in 1989, mm-hmm. and I got 47 rejections. Stabbed me in the heart. You know, it just stabs you in the heart after you had some encouragement. You think it maybe it's good, it's different. I was real nervous about it when I wrote it. And the instructor said, she said, that's why it's better than some of your other stuff. So I want to tell people, if you're a little bit unsure when you're writing something and you're not comfortable with it, it may be your best work.
Excellent.
And you don't know until later, you know. So mm-hmm. So anyway, I put it away, and you know, like most people do, that I put it on the shelf, and I said, well, I guess this book publishing's not for me, and I jumped into the entrepreneurial thing and, you know, got some clients doing that, doing client work for them. And I guess in 1992, about 5 years in, one of my clients said, well, we've got a children's book festival with the public library, which was the big library, you know, downtown, mm-hmm. where everybody wanted to be, you know, if you were an author, you want to have your book in the big library. And I said, well, I've got a manuscript. I don't have a book because I didn't have any pictures. You know, it was a children's book, but I just had the copy. But by that time, I had my own advertising company, basically. So I had a graphic artist. I had a printer. I said self-publishing was just kind of starting to become a thing. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I can do this myself, I think. So I printed my 2,500 copies because, you know, that's what you had to print at that time, not to think, well, I could, you know, my cost is $2 or $3. I could sell it for $5 or $10. I could make $3 or $4, yes. You know, sure. Not realizing that, you know, I'd spend $7,000 to actually get it, you know. And then you wake up and I sold my first 100 books and I said, yeah, this is great. You know, I'm a real author, you know, when you can hold it in your hand, there's nothing like holding that book in your hand and, you know, and sharing it with people. So, but then of course I woke up the next week and it was like, oh, distribution. Yeah, I got to sell these other 2,400 copies. So it's crazy, but it's a crazy business, but it's a wild adventure. And I think anybody that wants to write, start writing. That's the thing. Just start. Because that's what people ask. People go, what do I do first? You know, we'll start writing something, whatever it is. And we'll talk about the ways that people write. Absolutely.
That's amazing too. So seeing that, you know, you always look at this, that is a determination is there. You wanted to do something about it and you did it actually. You got your manuscript, then you waited and somebody says, okay, yeah, we're looking for somebody, and you act upon it because you're already in the media business and you just print it out. And learning on that sort of next step was that, okay, I printed out everything. Now the next course is the distribution of everything. So these are all learning curve you are doing. And and there's a lot of people get really, tied down themselves, because when somebody says to you, you can publish a book, you got a book in you, you can do that. And then it just, the sweat started to come up and says, I'm not ready. I can't do it. And somebody says, I can help you, but still, because there are a lot of people that are very rogue, I will say, publishers around in the market as well. And we don't know who is the rogue publisher. And they are fancy, coming into their nice big cars, and they are chauffeuring around here and there and showing off here and there and talking about something and that and that. And people spend so much money, and they've been burned by those people.
Right, exactly.
And they lose that momentum of being more creative, because I said, you know, I spent about $5,000, and I end up in not good place.
Right.
Not good place. So it is about how you can, I'm just going to pick up my water bottle, and how you're going to look at this all together. And affected you in a different place in your going, sir. But what you are going to share with us today is those steps where they can avoid those things, or they can learn those things so they can understand what is the right process. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. And I published for myself for 30 years, but I didn't help other people publish. Mm-hmm. And so in 2013, I had a friend who was a doctor. And as you mentioned, he got taken advantage of dramatically, not to $5,000, but the tune of about $50,000 to $60,000 for his book. And then he had 4,000 copies, you know, sitting in the warehouse, and they were charging him money every month to keep those books in the warehouse. And he was like, what do I do? I don't know what to do. And then a couple of weeks later, I went to another meeting and another guy stood up, and he had been taking advantage of the same Vanity Press. Brilliant men, you know, excellent in their field. One of them's a kidney surgeon. The other one was a rehabilitation specialist for the biggest hospital in town, but they didn't know anything about publishing. And he got taken to, you know, probably to the cleaners to about the tune of 100,000 plus. And I was just so livid. I was so mad about it. That's why I got in the publishing business. So I've been helping other people publish what we call partner publishing. We'll talk a little bit about that. Please. About in 2013. So I've been going on 6 or 7 years now.
Amazing.
But that's it. And people do, they either want it to be perfect and everything's not going to be perfect. So that's why we say just start, and start wherever you're at. And people say, well, what do I write about? So that's the first thing. Why are you writing? And what are you writing about? Well, you need to write about something you know about, okay? And I'll talk a little bit about something later that you can do if you don't have anything to write about. But mostly, writing is a process. It's a journey, and it's a long journey, you know? It's not something that you get done in a week or in a month or in a couple of months even. I'm not saying you can't write something, and what you can and you can publish. And it's a lot quicker today than it used to be when I first started with all the internet opportunities. And that's why I think it's the greatest time in the world to publish, because you can build your own audience. You can build distribution, which didn't used to exist, except in the bookstores and for the big publishers, because they wouldn't talk to you if you were a small publisher. Mm-hmm. But think about that. What are you writing? And write about something you like, because you're going to have to stay with it. And if you get bored with the subject easily, then don't write about that subject. You know, find something that you really love, that you want to learn everything you can learn about it, that you're the best at that, or, you know, and usually we are really good at something, but because it's easy for us, we don't see it as our superpower. We think it's easy for everybody. I think, well, if Liz can do it, well, Sam can do it. Well, no, Sam's got other skills. Sam's better at technology, or Sam's better at numbers, or whatever it happens to be. But we get that in our mind, and then we start comparing ourselves. We go, oh, well, I can't write about that. I can't write about that because, you know, so-and-so's famous and they already wrote about it. But they're not you. We bring our own unique experiences. Where we come from, where we grew up, you know, what we've experienced in life, whether that's work or school or friendships, everything we do is filtered through our own experience. And so that means it's unique. It's not going to be the same as your experience. You didn't grow up in the same country that I did. You didn't necessarily speak the same language that I spoke or learned first. And so all of those things help it. So I just say, start. Find a subject. Find somebody you want to help, because that's a really important thing that a lot of people don't think about, is who their audience is. And a lot of times in advertising, you know, we do it. We think about who our customer is, and we go through all the steps, you know, how old are they? Are they male or female? Where do they live? What's their income, their education? We do all of that for what we consider product marketing, but a book is a product. And so you need to do that same thing when you're thinking about your customer. Think about, write down everything you can write down about that person. And most especially, where do they get their information? Because eventually you're going to have to get to that marketing question that we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. You actually brought up so many areas where every individual think about it, and then they look at this information and then they sit down and say, no, this is not for me because it's too many things to do. But again, somebody, as you said, there is no such thing as a perfection. Their perfection for me is an illusion. You know, when you shatter that, you are free, because you will say, I'm going to have this sort of a color or that sort of a color or this sort of a graphic or that sort of a font. And this is the between when you are, because you as an expert in your field, you can be able to guide the person step by step. You know, those are the things at the last minute. Once everything go for the editorial and everything, and then you decide whether what font you want to use. Yes, I'm just guessing it for you.
Right. But that's exactly right. So first you got to get it down. You got to get it out of your head. And people do. I still write longhand, which is, people think I'm crazy, but I still write longhand because that just helps me process. That's how I process information. Some people can write on their computer. Some people want to be on their tablet. Some people can even do it on their phone. I mean, younger people, like, you know, my nieces and nephews, they can get on their phone and take notes, or they record, you know, into it. And that's one of the things that I was going to talk about. The five ways that we usually find that people write. Or they write, they journal. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people journal, and then they end up taking their journal notes and put those together, and those can become chapters. I still do the journalism thing, the who, what, when, where, and how. So for me, I don't have a blank page. That doesn't exist for me because I can always fall back on that training of who, what, when, where, how. If I'm writing about creativity, well, what kind of creativity am I writing about? You know, who am I writing for, kids or am I writing for adults? You know, that's a different process. You got to be careful of, you know, you got to write at a different level for children than you do for adults. You know, it has to be shorter. You know, you don't write just reams and reams and reams. So those are two of the ways. I've got one friend, she likes to just go away for the weekend, and she just takes all her notes. She gathers up everything that she's gotten together, any books, any research, any marketing brochures. And she just spends the weekend and writes everything she can write. She just dumps it all in. And then she worries about editing it later, which is another good tip. You know, just write, don't edit. The editing process happens later on. It's the next step. Mm-hmm. The fourth way that people do that is Q&A, kind of write down the 10 questions, especially if it's a nonfiction, mm-hmm. if it's a business subject or a professional subject or something, write down the 10 questions that everybody asks about that. If it's taxes, there's 10 questions that people are asking. If it's legal, related to some kind of legal issue, there's 10 questions. If it's weight loss, there's 10 questions. But then the next thing is, what are the 10 should questions? What questions do you know that nobody else knows to ask? You write those down, and then that can become your book. And then you can have 20 chapters. You write out the content and answer that question for people. That's the fourth way. The fifth way is, like, you don't even have to be a great writer today. You can interview other experts, just like we're having this conversation today. If you don't know what to write about, but you're interested in the subject, let's just say you're interested in cars. You go find an expert in each car. You know, you find the expert in trucks, you find the expert in hot sports cars, you find the expert in, you know, minivans, whatever it is, whatever your subject is, and interview those people, and then take those interviews and create chapters from those interviews. So those are kind of the five ways that most people write. And if you write a different way, that's okay. It's your way. Do it your way, but start. And choose an audience. Choose a particular person in your mind, because if you can think of that customer or that reader, you just write better. If you go, I'm writing to Sam, what does Sam want to know? Well, you know, you begin to think in a different way versus just, oh, I'm just going to write whatever I want to write. No, what does Sam need to know that's going to help him with his arthritis? What's Sam going to know that's going to help him be a better business person, a more successful business person? You know, we have to think of it like that. And we're always thinking about us.
Very true. Very true.
Instead of the customer or the client or the reader. And in our case, publishing, we're always thinking about the reader. Mm. And how can, you know, what does the reader want to know? And we can't assume that the reader knows everything either, because the reader comes from different places. So we have to really step back and say, well, the first thing you need to know is this. The second thing Sam needs to know is this. The third thing Sam needs to know is this. And then that way, you know, so before you know it, you've written it all down. You've got a system, you've got a process, and you're sharing that system or process. And that's what our five steps is. It's a process that we go through with people that we know works. And we've done it, you know, 50 times, 60 times, 100 times. And so it kind of works over and over again once you have a system. And that's another thing that we don't do. We don't track our system. We do it, and then we come back, and then we have to redo it, and then we, like, restart over again. And I'm like, you know, start a notebook, start a folder, start a list on your computer. We do this first, we do this next, we do this, so that you have a step-by-step process. And then that can become a book, it can become a course, it can become a podcast, it can become a speaking, a presentation that you go out and speak. I mean,
I think there will be there will be so many things, because one book can be your complete Bible. where you can take it with you and you can share the chapter by chapter. Because I remember somebody was talking to me and they said, you know, my book, which I published, now is being used in the parliament in Africa.
Wow. Uh-huh.
They use that book as a tool. So yeah. They use that book as a tool. They also actually given that to that book into the libraries in this country. So people mm-hmm. can pick sure. up that book and follow it through. And uh-huh. now she's getting those engagement in terms of that she's delivering her workshops and she's doing some interviews and she's doing several thousand things with that book.
Right.
But again, as you said, you know, everything starts with you to have this ability to take a first step. You know, you can't right. avoid those things because you say you, everybody says you got a book in you, you got a book in you, you got a book in you. Yeah, saying that you got a book in you, it does not make a make any difference because that person doesn't know that there is a book in him.
Right. They can't get it out. They can't get it out. And then what, like you say, what happens is then we, even if we say, yes, I want to do it, then we start second guessing ourselves. So then we go, oh, well, am I good enough? Or, oh, I'm too old. Or, oh, I'm too young. Or, oh, I don't know enough. Or that person over there is saying, you know, Jack Canfield knows more than me, the chicken soup for the soul guy. Well, of course he does. Okay. But he's been writing for 50 to 60 years. I mean, you know, but that's okay. It doesn't mean that you can't write as good a book, that there aren't people out there that need your process or your system or what you have to share can help one person. And most of us that write, if it helps one person, it was worth the time to us to spend, because that's what most people are in it for. You know, the sad thing is you're not going to get rich in the book business unless you do multiple books. Eventually you can. You can build a career. You can build a self-publishing business. That can happen for you, but you usually need an upsell to something else. Okay, because it takes a lot of sales of a $10 or $15 or $1 or $20 book, you know, to become a millionaire.
I know that because my wife wrote a book and she spent a lot of, before she met me, she spent uh-huh. an arm and a leg for that. And she says yeah. The royalty and the person who did all the marketing did not do proper marketing. She has to do all the marketing, even though she paid for the marketing.
Right. Yeah.
And then she put it on Amazon, and then she came up back with certain issues with not receiving her royalties. She's selling her own books herself.
Right.
So there were a lot of mumbo jumbo by talk by this publisher. And we learned from that experience. And now we decided to think about it, how we can take it in our own hand. But again, the best thing is about, as you said, the upsell, the selling of that book to the next level, because you need you have to have a book. As you say, you can't be a millionaire depending on if you put diamonds on the book and you sell those books with the diamond, then people will buy it.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
But people will instantly think of. Not all the book have that emotions attached to somebody.
Right.
If I'm going to write something, if I says I can connect myself to all those people who has a journey from another country to this country, how they have felt
right
to left their own country and now settle in this country, and how they're finding it, and now people who are living over there thinking that the grass is greener over here in this country. Not realizing that we are not saying it's not greener. It's that we are just saying do not come over here because we are also suffering right now.
Right.
So the writing of that sort of a content, as you said, you know, you have to connect with people on the emotion basis.
Yeah.
So when they pick up the book and they read that preface or they read that foreword or something like that and say, wow, that is something connect with me.
Right.
I get it. I buy it.
Yeah. And books, and a lot of us can remember a book that changed our life, you know, and it probably wasn't the whole book. It was probably one chapter.
Yes.
Or it was a few sentences, or there was something that sparked something in us and it's going to be different for different people. But that's it. I mean, there's two kinds of writers. Some people wake up every morning and they just have to write. And if you're that kind of writer and you just have to write, just write it, get it out. And fiction is writing for entertainment or education, and that's fine too. And a lot of people just read to escape, and that's an honorable profession. But if you're writing to make money, that's a nonfiction thing. If you're writing for leverage, for your business leverage, to leverage your business, a book is a great way to do that. It's another tool that you can have and that you can use to share your expertise with people. And that's kind of what we do. And I would say to your listeners or watchers, always check. You know, never do business with somebody.
Welcome to Chai with Sam Dosser. On my podcast, I invite guests from diverse backgrounds. My guest will be sharing their personal and business journey. So stay tuned in.
Unless you've checked them out with two or three people, and never pay for something unless you get two or three prices or two or three estimates or something. And then it becomes the personal connection too. You know, we just, when we meet people, we just know. You know, some people we're friends with. Other people, it takes us a little while. But the publishing and the writing, usually that's our baby. You know, that's something close to your heart. And it's not something you want to just share with just anybody, you know. So it takes that level of trust to open yourself up to somebody. But what I would say is don't let fear keep you from doing it if you really want to do that. And it's still a great time to do it. There's obviously the market is very competitive, and there are thousands of books out there. And how do you get your book out, you know, to break through? And that's an ongoing process too. And we just have to tell people up front, you know, listen, the marketing is ongoing. But if you start as you mean to go on, if you think about marketing from the very first, because that's one of the mistakes we find people make. They don't think about marketing until they've written their book or published their book. And then they go, oh, I got to market it now. Well, you could have been putting clues in the book. You know, in your book as you're writing, you could have said, you know, something like, if you need more information about this topic, email me here. Or go to my website, or follow me on Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever it is, because like we talked about, what's the next step for that customer or client with you? What do you want them to do next once they finish the book? You want them to implement usually the things that you talked about. You hope that they implement them, but if they can't implement, if they need accountability,
they can come to you
They can come to us, they can come to somebody else, they can find a friend that says, hey, I'm on this journey, you know, I know I'm going to get stuck, or I know that I'm going to get fearful, and I need you to just be there to encourage me. If I haven't done, you know, I'm supposed to write so many pages by Friday, you know, you check in with me, Sam, check with me, you know, and see, Liz, have you written those 50 pages, or that 20 pages, or that 2 pages, whatever it is. You know, set some goals for yourself, and then be responsible and be accountable. But don't let the naysayers. You'll have 50 people that'll tell you all the reasons why it won't work and why you don't need to do it. And you just say, thank you very much. Just like your subconscious mind, you say, thank you, mind. I appreciate that thought. But no, I'm going to go do this anyway. Because I said I was going to write this book by this date, and give yourself a date. And it doesn't matter if the date changes, but if you set the date, you're going to get a lot more accomplished than if you just say, oh, I'm going to write this book sometime this year. No, sure. You got to say, I'm going to write this book by September 1st, or I'm going to do this by the end of the year, or December 31st, or whatever. Because you'll just hold yourself. We just hold ourselves more accountable, I guess is where I'm going with that.
I think what happens is usually we do not make ourselves accountable. That's where the problem arises. And we say, I know I have to do this. I'm going to take it another week or so, or another week or so. And then as somebody says, you know, when I remember I was very bad in doing workshops. So I was not in workshop. I was attending my classes or doing online courses and everything. And I used to say, I will take the course, but I will complete it when I get a chance to complete it. And I used to have 3-4 right. courses running simultaneously, and I never used to complete any of them. Yeah. And the 6 months pass or 9 months pass and a year pass, and I'm saying, yeah, I wanted to complete that. You know, I didn't complete because I was not accountable for it.
Right.
And then when it came onto my head, I started taking accountability. Then I started finishing courses and receiving certificates of completion.
Right.
Feel my heart and say, yeah, I have accomplishment.
Right.
I've accomplished something very great. So again, you require somebody to take, you have to take a charge of it, and you put a sort of a setting, goal setting. That's why I said, even my clients have come to me today. I was doing a coaching and I said to her, you know, you need to give me something by Friday, write down all your goals,
right.
what exactly you want to achieve in your business.
Yeah.
Because without goals, I will be telling you this, that, and other, but you're not going to follow it through. If I know right. what your pain points are, then I'm going to say, okay, let's be realistic about it. When you're going to achieve this, by what time?
Right.
Otherwise, you will be saying, Sam, I decided I'm going to complete it, but I'm not put any date for it, so I don't know when I'm going to complete it.
Right, right, that's right. Well, and that's the thing. And there's kind of like today, there's three or four ways of publishing. You know, traditional publishing still exists, and you can send out your manuscript to publishers, and you can wait to hear back from that. And some people just want to do that because some people just want to write. But the sad thing is they're not going to do all the marketing for you. They're going to handle the publishing piece of it and the graphics and the putting it together, the printing it and the distribution, but they're still going to ask you, how many books can you sell, or who are you going to market to, or do you have a following? I mean, that's going to be part of your proposal that you're going to have to send in with your manuscript. So that still works. I mean, you know, the big advances are probably have gone away. I'm not saying you can't still get an advance. You can, if you've got some credibility and you've got some other, you know, you're going to have some expertise or professional credentials.
Mm-hmm.
Very unlikely that if you've got no professional background or no experience that you're going to get a big deal with somebody. It's probably not going to happen. The second thing is self-publishing, where you have all control and you have all cost. And sometimes people want, if you want control of your material and what you're writing and what you're sharing and your message, then self-publishing is probably a better route for you. You can still freelance. You may hire a graphic artist, or you may hire somebody to do the formatting of the files for you, because different platforms need different, you know, formats. But you can still do that, but you basically control it. You know, you do have the cost, which may be 20 or 30%, but then you make back 70% instead of 15% or 3% or 5%, because it's not going to be more than 15% that you're going to make from a traditional publisher, your royalty.
Mm-hmm.
And that royalty is going to get paid probably once a year. It's not going to be paid quarterly or monthly. And even with Amazon, they pay in 60 days or 30 days. So, you know, if you self-publish, you know, you get paid when you sell it, or you get paid when somebody else sells it, and usually within 30 or 60 days. It's not 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is partner publishing, which is kind of what we do. So there is some cost to that, but we do a lot of those nitty-gritty things that people don't want to do or don't have time to do. Like the formatting, the layout, the, you know, some of the marketing, the graphics, you know, all of those things that you need to help that. And then POD, some people go, what's POD? Well, POD stands for print on demand. Like I was talking about earlier, I had to print 2,500 copies of my first book. We eventually sold those copies. I probably got about 50 or 100 of them left that I didn't sell. But over the years, you know, we've sold those copies, but it took a while. So print on demand means you can print one copy. You don't have to print 2,500 copies or 100,000 copies and keep them in your garage like you used to. So that's why it's a great time to publish. And so those are kind of the traditional ways to publish. And the main platforms are Amazon, Barnes & Noble, which is called BN Press, Apple, which used to be called iBooks, but now they're calling it Apple Books, and they're kind of they've kind of done a rebranding of all their stuff. They're doing Apple Podcasts, Apple Books, Apple Music. It used to all under Apple under iTunes, and you had to search for it. And if you're looking for a magazine, that took forever. And if you're looking for a podcast, that took forever. You know, you had to search through all this stuff. So now they've got these designated divisions. So it's a lot easier. And then there are things like Kobo, which is an ebook platform, actually out of Canada. Then there are different, there are some platforms that sell just to libraries and schools and things like that. And then the big guys are Ingram. So you've got Ingram Spark, which is, Ingram is the biggest wholesale publisher in the world. And not only do they sell in the U.S., they sell all over the world. They have 38 to 40,000 retail outlets. And that includes bookstores, specialty stores, you know, Walmart, Targets, big box, big box type store, you know, warehouse type store. If you walk down and you see there's a row of books, those books are being printed by Ingram and shipped from Ingram. They're not coming from Simon and Schuster. They're not coming from Random House. They're not coming, you know, maybe Scholastic. Scholastic may print their own stuff. They're a children's publisher, but Ingram prints those books. So you can do like an Ingram Spark, which is their self-publishing account. And it's like anything else. You set up your account, you fill out all your information, you link your bank or however you want to get paid and your tax ID number so that you can get paid. You know, you have to have either a social security or an employment number. All of that's easy. And the thing about publishing today and writing is you can find out anything you want to know on the internet. True. Now you got to take things a little bit grain of salt. I mean, don't just look up one person and read them. If you search something, read at least three of the articles so that, because people are going to kind of have a different opinion about things. But if you read three or four, you can get the general ideal and you can learn. There's nothing in publishing that you can't learn to do yourself.
Yeah.
But it comes back to time and money.
Absolutely.
It's like anything. If you've got the money, you don't have to spend the time. If you don't have the money, then you probably got to have to spend some time learning something about whatever it is you want to do. If it's online marketing, if it's publishing, if it's writing, you know, whatever that happens to be, you're going to have to spend a little bit of time learning that. And luckily today you can, you know, that's the good thing.
Yeah, that's true, because learning is you can learn, but again, is also a time. Time is your precious commodity at the moment.
Right.
And if you as an expert who can be partnered or who can help you get your book quickly in the market, so that time and your precious time, which you might be spending with your family, with your children, or with yourself, will be looked after instead of you are putting so many things you are doing. As I said, the promotion of the book requires at least 6 months prior to the publishing date, for example.
Right.
So you started sending cover pages on social media saying, oh, my book is coming out, I'm shouting. And I remember those days when I was looking for a job, and I used to tell everybody, you know, I'm looking for a job. So I know there are 10, 15 people are aware of that Sam is looking for a job. And then somebody will call me and say, Sam, I got a job for you. Are you still looking for it? I'll say, yeah, I'm looking for a job. Oh, come for the interview. So until you're not going to say to a lot of people, then how are people going to know? Then today somebody sent me a message saying that, Sam, oh, I got my book published. And I said to him that, that's a great achievement. How you are doing your publishing and everything. Oh, he's already in the tabloids and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. It's okay. You just told me that my book is published. If I would known that you have published your book 6 months ago, that's how I would be encouraged to see that enthusiastically. But because you are doing somewhere else, you just found out that, okay, now I know Sam. My Sam will be able to help me. So again, as you said, you need to, if you are self-publishing or even though you're partnered with something, you need to show some enthusiasm in putting this out to a lot of people.
Right. Correct? Getting it out to people. Right. And the thing about it is, you know, everybody says, I don't like sales. I don't like marketing. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you want to sell a lot of books, you're going to have to learn to market. You're going to have to learn to talk about your book, and you're going to have to learn to talk about yourself. And obviously, I could stand here all day and talk about Sam's book or Arlene's book or my chef, Jay Stephen, or my children's book author. But, you know, when I have to talk about my book, Creative Monster, or my book, My Guide for Publishing, that's a lot harder. And it is harder. And it just takes practice. And you only get better by talking to people, by telling people about it and sharing what you've got. And like we talked about, you can put things in your book. And so when people are reading, where it makes sense. I'm not saying on every page you need to say, go to my website, go to my website, go to my website, or go buy my stuff. But where it makes sense, you know, and when you're writing, it's a lot harder to go back and try to fit it in than to do it when you're thinking about it. The two things that we find that people don't do, mistakes they make, is they don't make any kind of budget, and they don't want to think about marketing, you know. But if, like you say, if you put a schedule in place and you say, I'm going to publish by this date, then you back it out. You say, if your public book's going to become available in September, then like you say, at least 6 months out, you need to start talking about it. And you don't have to talk about it every day, but once a week or, you know, a couple of times a week, you want to post something different. And it can just be something as simple as, I'm working with my publisher, or I just finished chapter 13 and I've got two more chapters to go.
Yeah, also you can also put some sort of a snippets of your one of the paragraph or one of those things, you know, as a title. And you say, people get intrigued about, oh my God, he's writing about that. I better follow him when he's going to say, because when you are publishing, you always put sort of my Kindle is going to be only for 99p for 30 days, you know, get yourself a Kindle or get me a review, because I'm going to pop up, give it to you free. To get me a review, or you just pay for the as lot of big names like Tony Robbins, and those old big names are also sending their books. So you just pay for the shipping. You can keep the book. Give you the shipping. Shipping is going to cost you more, $10 or $15. I know that is not actually the cost of the cost of the book is $3, and the shipping is another $7. So let's say, for example, $10. For the book, for the shipping, $15 for the shipping, they already taken out their money from that. And again, there is another thing which they are getting, is that your email address now actually is more juicier than anything else.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And so, you know, and so the three types of them we didn't really talk about, but ebooks obviously are a big thing. And when I started, there was no such thing. We always usually start with an ebook because, one, it's the least expensive process. It's the quickest thing you can do. You can get in, you can get uploaded, and you can build some social proof. You know, if you've sold 100 ebooks or 1,000 ebooks, you know, then more likely somebody's going to be interested in your paperback, you know, and then you can do a paperback. And then you can do a hardback. Amazon doesn't print hardbacks anymore. You have to do that through a different process, through Ingram or through Ingram Spark. But those are the things, like you say, those are kind of the three things. But you can do coloring books. You can do journals. You can do workbooks. I mean, there's all kinds of supplemental things that can go along with your book. You can do videos. You can do audio. Audiobooks are really probably the big thing right now. I mean, they're starting to become the big thing. I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, ebooks were the big thing. Now audiobooks are going to become the big thing because it's getting easier. The technology is more available for editing and all of that. It still takes time and it still costs you something. I mean, we haven't been able to get the price down under a couple of $1,000s, but that's why I was talking about a budget. If there's two things that you're going to pay for, you need to pay for editing. I don't edit my own stuff. When I write something, I send it to somebody else to edit because I know what it's supposed to say and I read it right. And somebody else reads it and they go, Sam reads it and goes, Liz, I don't think you meant I don't think you meant to say that right here. This just doesn't sound right. And you read it to me and I go, oh no, that's not what I meant to say. I meant to say this. But so always, if you have to pay for something, pay for editing, pay for a cover. And somebody that does book covers, mm-hmm. not somebody that's just a graphic artist. If you're a graphic designer and you've been designing, for 30 years, we'll guess. Go ahead and do your own thing. That's your mm-hmm. business. You ought to be good mm-hmm. enough to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the problem is, and then people have long titles. You know, you need a short title and you can have a longer subtitle. You also have to look at your stuff big and small, because the most of the time when somebody sees your book, they see it the size of a postage stamp. They see a little thumbnail. What it's called on a computer screen is a thumbnail. They're not going to see your book 5.5 by 8.5 or 6 by 9, which is kind of a standard trade publication. Mm-hmm. They're going to see that little bitty picture. And if you've got too much going on in the background or the color or whatever, you know, people are going to just go past it because it's too confusing for them.
Yeah.
So simple still works. Short titles still work. And usually your first title is not going to be your best title. So you need to brainstorm titles. Those are writing assignments that we do with people. And you need to do at least 20, because usually the best one's going to show up about 14 or 18. It's not going to be the first and second one you come up with, you know. And then when you do your subtitles, that's where you want to think about keywords. I mean, you want to put keyword in your title if you can, but you don't want to try to be clever and quick, you know, just to get that keyword in your title. You can always put it in the subtitle, and then in the description of the book, you know, that's where you need to put those keywords where you think somebody's going to be searching. Whether it's weight loss, whether it's medical weight loss, or whether it's surgical weight loss. I mean, you know, you can put those keywords in, and then if somebody's searching, then you're going to come up in the search.
Yeah.
But it's a process. Like you say, it's a learning process, and there are going to be days that are great, and there are going to be other days where you're like bored to death, or you're like, oh, I can't do this anymore. And maybe you just need to take a break. You know, it's okay to like step away from something for a couple of days, and you ought to, from a brain and a creative standpoint, you ought to step away and then come back and look at it again, because you'll find the mistakes, you'll see the mistakes, or you'll say, oh, well, I could have used this story, or I could have told this story about so-and-so, or I could have told when this happened to me. And that just comes by the process, you know, just doing it. And it's helps you learn. It helps you communicate. It helps you think things through. That's another reason why, you know, I love the book business and the publishing business. And then we all know that our favorite book. If you ask somebody what's their favorite book, it's just like what's your favorite movie and what's your favorite meal.
Yeah.
I mean, people can tell you immediately. They don't have to think about it very long.
True.
And then marketing is ongoing. There are some traditional offline marketing that still works. That's like a bookmark. That's like postcards. That's like mini posters or something. You always make more money if you sell yourself. Obviously right now that's kind of hard because mm-hmm. they've got us all in lockdown for COVID-19, and we obviously want to be healthy and safe. But if you can sell yourself, if you can go to events, you can go to conferences, you can go to meetings and sell at the back of the room, those are great ways to do. And you make more money because, like you say, your cost is usually going to be that 15, 20%, maybe 30 if it's a mm-hmm. bigger book or full color or something like that. But you're going to be able to take home 70, whereas mm-hmm. if you put it on Amazon or Barnes and Noble, they're going to usually take their 30 or 40%. Sometimes a wholesaler like a bookstore will want 50%, so you'll make less money when you sell to a retail outlet, but you maybe have the potential to sell more copies at one time. And so if something's free, you should put your book there. You know, everybody goes, well, what platform? Well, I just want to put my thing on one thing. Well, the problem is, maybe Sam and Liz are Amazon buyers, but guess what? Katie and John, they're Barnes and Noble people, or they're Apple. Mm-hmm. They're Apple customers. And the first place they're going to go is to Apple. And if your book's not on Apple, they're not going to buy your book. Why would you not do it, you know, if it's free to put it up, which most of them are. I think at Apple, you used to have to be a developer, so it's a little bit more of an issue with Apple, but they're changing their policies. Yeah. So they can
Yeah, they are changing a lot of things. They are totally. And then another thing is coming up is Alexa, because people are using voice technology.
Yeah,
and they are calling upon Alexa, read the book. Read this book. Can I take this book out from the library? Or it's not available. Can you subscribe it for me for ebook? Read the audio book for me. So there are a lot of things happening in the market. As I said, we are in the very technological century where everything is on the fingertips. People are just going walking and listening to the books, and they'll say, okay, they're just putting information inside their system. So let's tell us, tell my audience that is there, because you are supplying, you are giving away your ebook for people to go through with it. And is there anything else would you like to offer my audience?
Well, I actually have an action guide, a PDF action guide, and I don't know, is it easier to send it to you or post a link, or
post a link.
And absolutely. Then people can download that, or and then if you go to my website, I also have an ebook about building brain power, which is about creative and critical thinking, which is kind of just to kind of jumpstart you with in your mind. And it also is a little bit about being a healthy brain. I mean, we take care of our body, but it's really crazy that we don't really think much about our brain health, you know. True. But there are certain things that we can do, which is food and exercise and oxygen and breathing and, you know, and doing something new that keeps the brain active, and it reduces disease. And as those of us are getting older, you know, we certainly... we certainly want to do better with that. But yeah, so there's kind of two things there, but I'll post the link or send you the link to post. Yes. For basically it's an action guide. It's like 25-30 pages, and it has asked you to answer the questions.
Good.
So it'll have a little section about the writing, like we talked about, the five steps for writing. Yes. And then it'll ask you to fill in the blanks, and, you know, and then, and answer these questions. Like you say, if it's about audience, it's going to ask you, you know, questions about, you know, like you say, we talked about how old they are. Is it for children? Is it for adults? Is it for men? Is it for women? Because that's the other myth. Everybody thinks their book is for everybody. So, okay. When I say, well, who's your book for? They go, my book's for everybody. No, it's not. And even if it was, you don't have enough money to market to everybody. So that's why you need to choose, you know, and you can say, you know, how to buy a house. Let's, for instance, you know, 10 steps for buying a house. Well, if you said 10 steps for teachers to buy their first house, or for firemen or policemen or whoever your audience you're interested in helping, if I'm a teacher, I'm going to say that's for me. Yes. If it just says buy a house or 10 good reasons to buy a house, and I'm thinking about buying a house, I'm going to go, well, that must not be for me. Because we always go negative first.
Absolutely. Because this is just triggers our mind, and this mind says to us that no, this is not for me. It's definitely not for me. So I will get all your links and put it on the podcast. And I would say thank you very much, Liz, for taking the time out and sharing your
I appreciate it very much
with my audience. And it was an amazing discussion, and how she has actually laid out this self-publishing or partner publishing so easily, because most of the publishers are not open about sharing their insight. I would say that, you know, is your book, you would like to publish it or not, whether it's your self-publishing, these are the guidelines, go ahead, you do it. But end of the day is all about how you're going to market it, how you're going to leverage it. There are a lot of things, you know, sometimes you don't know, there are little things which you're going to start scratching your head. And when you say POD, and I says, what she's talking about earlier. And then when you say is purchase on demand. So there are a lot of things which I learned today as well. So thank you very much for sharing that knowledge with us. So this is the podcast called Chai with Sam Dosa. Today I have Lee Flawless from United States of America. Thank you, Liz, for sharing.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Sam.
Take care. Bye for now.
Great.
Okay. Still recording. Stop it.